This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, Hour 2. I'm Rick Camp with you until noon. Spent the entire first hour doing something we don't do a whole lot on The Score, especially on Sunday mornings, breaking down the college football slate from yesterday and looking forward to the playoff. And we're going to continue to do that next because we're going to go out to the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Speak with my guy, Nick Shepkowski. Follow him on Twitter at Shep670. He does the College Football News podcast, USA Today, writing about Notre Dame, the Notre Dame pregame show on radio.com, and a North Central alum. North Central, if there's anything anybody knows about Division III football, it's that Mount Union is a dynasty, and North Central just knocked out Mount Union in the earliest in the college their tournament since 1994. So, Shep, congratulations.
Thank you for that. Yeah, no, it was an insane game just kind of be following on Twitter yesterday, and I turned on the old college radio call, 89.1 WONC, upset of, maybe not the upset of the century, but huge win nonetheless, and the Cardinals are moving on to the Elite Eight.
All right, which game was your favorite yesterday to watch?
Probably, I think I got to go Iron Bowl, just because that had everything in it. It just was the silliness of the return for the touchdown. I thought the Sean Tyfer's run was insane where he knocks the helmet off of the Alabama defender. And then you have the missed field goal. You have the controversy at the end of the first half with the clock and Nick Saban going crazy right before or right at halftime. I thought that game had it all. And I think it speaks to, I know a lot of pointing fingers and laughing going on at Alabama right now. And trust me, I'm in line to do the exact same because I think it'll be fun to have a college football playoff without them. But look at all the injuries that that team had throughout the year. It happened long before Tua a couple of weeks ago. And look at the depth of that. What it took Auburn to win that game on their home field against the backup quarterback, against a bunch of freshman linebackers that are out there for Alabama, and Alabama's still that good. It's just it just speaks to kind of like where they're at as a program, and even if they're not going to the college football playoff this year, it's a program that's in a real healthy state.
It seems like DeAndre Swift is going to be able to play against LSU. Now, of course, the pickings they're not going to have for the first half, but do you give Georgia a real shot against LSU in that SEC title game?
I mean, the defense travels, right? Isn't that supposed to be what the old saying is? And it's the third year in a row they'll be playing the SEC championship game. Georgia's confusing to me because I have a little bit of like a Mack Brown at Texas thing going on with Kirby Smart, in that he is a great evaluator of talent. He's great at recruiting talent. I don't always know if he gets the most out of his talents, and that's where I have a concern a little bit in that game of how Georgia, it showed itself throughout this year, whether it's a South Carolina loss, a Notre Dame team that's good but far from great, they had a lot of issues with and had real troubles moving the ball against. It's just I don't expect – if Georgia's going to win this game, it's going to have to be on their defense, because if it starts to get into the mid-20s or so, I just do not see how they have the horses to keep up with LSU.
How do you feel about Jake Fromm? Because I know coming into the year he was, especially for draft evaluations, like easy first rounder, all that stuff. And now I don't know how to feel about him, because if we want to marry everything together, I don't know if he can carry Georgia. And I also think he might be there when the Bears are picking in the second round. So I just don't have a good grasp on him as someone who's watched a good amount of Georgia games.
Yeah, he's had a real rough last month, too. Previous to that, he had gone into November. The only interceptions he had thrown were in that South Carolina game where they were upset at home. Otherwise, he was interception-free the entire season. And he has, even yesterday, that offense had trouble moving the ball a little bit early. I know you see the final score, was it 58-7 or 57-7? Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a at the bloodbath, but he hasn't looked like he's taken that next step to like that truly elite level. Like you've seen Joe Burrow go and fly by him. You've seen plenty of other quarterbacks across college football just kind of fly by him. So I'm with you on that, and that he's been a disappointment to me. Not to say he's bad, but he sure hasn't reached like that elite stage or status that you kind of thought that was coming, especially after early start of this year.
Is Ohio State the best team in the country right now?
I mean, I think they're far and away the most complete. And when I say far and away, I shouldn't be like, oh, yeah, they'd be a 2-touchdown favorite over everyone. No, I think that they, in what they have offensively, Joe Burrow's going to win the Heisman from LSU, but you could realistically have 3 finalists from Ohio State, and I would have no problem with that if they invited 3 guys to New York for the Heisman ceremony. Because Chase Young, to me, that's my number one pick in the draft. I know if people only tuned into yesterday's game, they'd be like, oh, what are you talking about? Michigan's tackles did pretty well against them. He didn't have his biggest game yesterday, but he is an absolute monster. I think J.K. Dobbins, I know you had the caller earlier asking you about him. I don't know what you see in him, Campy. I see a little bit of like Emmitt Smith in that he's not necessarily like the shiftiest, going to toot you out of your shoes type of guy, but he always falls forward. Oh, my goodness. It always seems like it's an extra yard and a half or 2 yards that they're picking up with him. And then, oh, yeah, he can also break away from you as well when he needs to, and you saw that yesterday. I really like that team. And then Justin Fields is, I know that people complain about the transfer portal, the new rules with it, the eligibility to play right away, but I think it has made college football better in that. Remember in August, we were talking, it's Alabama and Clemson and it's everyone else, and there's a monstrous gap. Well, that transfer rule that's been put in place, Joe Burrow ends up at LSU, Justin Fields ends up eligible to play this year at Ohio State. You have your number one and number two teams in the nation as a result of it.
Yeah, I always find it I find it interesting to like look at that stuff and how we could have the two Ohio State quarterbacks in possibly the title game with Burrow and then with Fields, and then you trace it back to, you know, Jacob Eason before Fromm and then Fields. It's so much better than having like, what, Fromm is the quarterback at Georgia with Justin Fields still just getting like a package or two of plays a game. I mean,
or Kirby Smart running the fake punt in the SEC championship when he absolutely didn't need to.
Man, some of the Georgia text threads, because like I'm kind of like cursory a Georgia guy, like kind of I don't have a Power 5 team, so I just kind of on a whim took Georgia years ago. Yeah. I think it was when they had Stafford and AJ Green, and some of those conversations were not great at that point. I'm speaking with Nick Shepkowski here on The Score. Follow him on Twitter at Shep670. College Football News Podcast, USA Today for Notre Dame, radio.com for Notre Dame, and obviously the executive producer of the McNeil and Parkins Show. So if LSU beats Georgia like most expect, do you have a team that you want to see get that fourth spot?
I'm curious what happens in the Big 12. It seems like it's been almost written off, and I'm a huge Matt Rhule guy at Baylor, and I know they blew the huge lead against Oklahoma a couple weeks ago on Saturday night. But I think that's – if Oklahoma beats Baylor twice, I want to see the – I mean, kind of going back to the transfer thing, I wouldn't have a problem with seeing Jalen Hurts get into the college football playoff. And I know he won't be playing against his old team in Alabama, but I would like that. I mean, Lincoln Riley, I know that people sit there and, oh, yeah, offensive boy wonder, all this, and people get a little upset when you hear about how smart Lincoln Riley is offensively. And we've seen Oklahoma go and Alabama beat up on them, Clemson beat up on them in years past in the college football playoff. But I'm just kind of looking resume-wise. Utah, it's an eye test. Their defense has played phenomenal. Their defensive line is downright scary. But Oklahoma, to me, like, their resume would be better to me if they're to beat Baylor twice and end up as Big 12 champs in a week from now. So I kind of would like to see Jalen Hurts have a chance at this thing. I think it would be more fun. I think Utah would be an interesting team. I don't necessarily think it would be a compelling team against an Ohio State or an LSU.
Do any of those teams, do you think, have a real chance against Ohio State or LSU? Because I've been kind of framing it as, I just kind of want to see someone different. Whoever it is probably just going to get worked by whichever team is number one anyway. So I'd rather see a different uniform get worked.
Yeah, I guess just because Utah hasn't been there, maybe that opens up a little bit of that conversation or that discussion. So possibly, sure. And then they're more defensive built than like Oklahoma is, even though Oklahoma is improved significantly from a year ago defensively. So maybe if there is a team out there that does, it's Utah. I'm telling you, don't sleep on Baylor. I know that they were the big choke team just a couple weeks ago. They're the team in the Pac-12 that does build its defense. They're built defensively first before offensively. They're thinking of figuring out how to stop you before letting you score or before trying to score on you. And their scores sometimes reflect that. It's kind of like a little bit in a Georgia way. It's not always the sexiest of box scores when you look at it, but it's a lot of wins that are put there in a row. I don't necessarily have them losing easily to Oklahoma in the Big 12 championship game. That's a team that I think I'd be the most curious about. I know people don't buy in because the program you don't know a ton about. I guess if there's one team out there that I'd be most curious to see how they'd match up, that's probably the one, even though their out-of-conference schedule was nothing.
So Notre Dame takes care of business yesterday. How would you assess what they've been able to do since, you know, I think early on there were some thoughts about the playoff, but just how Notre Dame's been able to round out what their schedule was this year?
Yeah, it's a weird year because you look at the start of the year and it's, oh, there's Georgia, there's top five team, there's Michigan, they're going to be competing for a Big Ten championship. Stanford's always good, probably going to be a 9-3, maybe with one of these Virginia Tech teams coming into South Bend. That could be an upset, 8-4, 9-3. They end up 10-2, which might exceed a lot of expectations, but then you compare it to kind of what those teams ended up doing versus what they were supposed to do. Stanford, a 4-8 squad. Michigan, top 15 team, but you saw again what happened to them yesterday against Ohio State. Another year, same story yet again, putting up a 50 spot with Ohio State on them. So were they really that good? And the way they lost to Michigan was disappointing. I mean, I think that you take it if you're a Notre Dame fan where you're at right now. You're 10-2. God, you got off of when Brian Kelly inherited this. It was Charlie Weiss who would just lose all of October and November. It was coming off of Tyrone Willingham, who was a complete disaster outside of 8 weeks in one season. It was the Bob Davey era before that. So obviously the bar has been risen and done so significant in a significant margin. But yeah, you still see a little bit of that gap there of what takes them from being a really good team to be one of the really top five-ish, top 10-ish on a consistent basis teams in the country.
How Illinois is it that they've had all this goodwill and then they blow a lot of it in one day losing to Northwestern?
How unreal was that? I just was like, Northwestern hasn't been able to put together anything all year long. And I know injuries have decimated them from day one.
Sure.
But they just looked lost for the most part all year, and the one day you put it all together, it's the final game of the season, or regular season at least, for Lovie Smith, who's turned a corner, and Illinois turned a corner, and all of a sudden here goes Northwestern on like their fourth quarterback of the season and just an unstoppable running game. Those first half stats were hilarious if you saw the box score at all. I think the time of possession was something like 25-35 to 4-25 or so for in Northwestern's favor. And it was only a 3-point lead, but it was like, this game is being completely dominated. If I was wise, I would have put every penny in my account on the Northwestern second half because they had that thing well in hand, even if the scoreboard didn't say so.
For those keeping score at home that haven't looked at the box score, 378 rushing yards on 65 attempts for Northwestern yesterday, a 5.8 average. They were damn near a service academy yesterday, except didn't even score as much as the all of a sudden, all the service academies are scoring a bunch of points, by the way. That's a whole nother thing. But
yeah, it is. But no, it was, I guess it's good for Northwestern. You have a year that you're just kind of, after being the Cinderella story last year, and they go to Indianapolis for the Big Ten championship game. They get laughed at a lot from early on this year. It's a good way to, at least, if you're going to sit through 3 months of torture, at least you have that at the end. You beat your rival and you take Abe Lincoln's hat back to Evanston.
His back, too. It's fine.
He's back, yeah.
Yeah. I almost had an all-timer earlier doing a Subway read, so we're all good.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah. Yeah, it was almost not a 6-inch sub, so I'll just...
my Lord.
I stopped myself, thankfully. So we didn't get that. So back to like the top of, you know, the teams that really matter in this whole thing. Clemson's schedule is what it is. The ACC, no matter how much Dabo Swinney protests, is not great at all. How much do you feel like, even though we know all the names, that how much do we know about Clemson?
Well, we know that, like, the star players from last year, at least offensively, are still there. Whether it's Lawrence, whether it's Etienne, whether it's the second best group of receivers that there are in the country, they're all still there. And I know their schedule, they put Texas A&M there at the start of it, and Texas A&M was supposed to be a lot better than they were, and boy, did they get worked last night on the Bayou.
And holy quickly.
Smokes. Goodness gracious. You flip into that thing 5 minutes on, like, well, this is over. What am I going to do with my Saturday night? But I can't fault, like, Clemson. They try to go out and schedule a Texas A&M team that's on the rise. It's supposed to be a top-tier, borderline top-tier program. And they beat the crap out of them, even if they didn't play well at the start of the year in September back when they played. It's really, I think, with Clemson, a lot of wins you're getting is because they barely escaped Mack Brown in North Carolina at the end of September. If you go and look what Clemson's done since then, two straight months of just beating everybody by 30, making it a laughing of a game by halftime. That offense is still putting up points. It's not as battle-tested, so I'm not as like, it's not as proven to me, and I think that last year's defensive line on Clemson and really their whole front seven, that was a historic front seven in terms of draft picks and NFL talent that was there. I am curious about how that gets tested when it's seasoned Ohio State. Like, I think Ohio State would match up really well offensively with Clemson to be able to score and score and score. And I would be curious about how Ohio State would be able to slow that down. But, yeah, Clemson, I can't really fault them. It's not their fault that Florida State, who's been for the last 25, 30 years, been a powerhouse in college football, has fallen flat on their face here in the last couple of seasons. And as a result, the ACC has taken a hit. So it's just you kind of play who's on your schedule. It's not like they tried to go out and just play the little sisters of the poor. They went and scheduled Texas A&M. They just have to get Texas A&M in what's been a disappointing year for the Aggies. I think Clemson's legit. I think that they're easily right there. Their number three is deserved. There's just because of that resume or because of that schedule, they don't have the marquee wins at LSU or Ohio State necessarily have. So. Mm-hmm. Still have them a slot down below there, but yeah, they're dangerous, they're scary, and they're fun to watch.
All right, you said Oklahoma is who you want to see in the four spot. Who do you think actually will be in the four spot?
Well, based off it is right now, Utah right there probably comes out at number five in the rankings this Tuesday night, Oklahoma at six, and then it's who has the better win necessarily, I think, because Utah's loss against USC, I know you and Studs were talking about it a little bit earlier on. Which is the better loss? Is it USC, who's going to be right there at the bottom of the top 25? Is it going to be Kansas State, who got a win over Iowa State yesterday, and maybe they sneak into the top 25 there? They're pretty on the level in terms of your loss. So I think you're kind of – you can't really just hold one over the other. Who has the best win in that situation? Would it be Utah beating Oregon in the Pac-12 championship, or would it be Oklahoma beating Baylor a second time? To me, I mean, maybe I'm higher on Baylor than most of the country is. I really do like that team, and I really do like that coaching staff and what they've done there. So for me, it's Oklahoma's resume would be slightly better than on Utah's at the end of the season if they do both win their championship games next week. But seeing as Utah's ranked ahead of them right now, I think Oklahoma's going to have to do something in convincing fashion, and maybe because of what Oklahoma has on its resume in years past, even if the players have changed. They've gone to the college football playoff. They haven't produced in the college football playoff. Maybe that's held against them, and maybe they have to have some style points against Baylor in the Big 12 championship game.
How nice was it to have the holiday and however many different places you had to stop to not have to watch your kid probably for a second of it because all family and friends want to get their hands on her?
Oh, it's great because you show up and baby's sleeping. And it's, oh, can I hold her? Like, well, you know, you don't probably want to wake a sleeping baby. But as soon as she woke up, and it's just like, oh, my goodness. Can I hold her? Can I hold her? I'm like, just don't drop her. I don't care who holds her. I want to go play foosball and run the table again like I do every year.
Oh, that's your thing?
Yeah, that's our big family thing is a foosball competition. That's Ashley, my wife Ashley, her uncle Ray. He's been my teammate for that in a couple of years now, and I think it's 3 years in a row we've run the table, and it's just any and all takers come and get some.
All right, Chet, appreciate you taking time out for me, man.
All right, Campy, enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Enjoy the game today.
That is Nick Shepkowski. Follow him on Twitter at Shep670. You hear him on the McNeil and Parkin Show. He gets his own shows, the College Football News Podcast. We'll speak to the guy who he does that podcast with, Pete Futek at 1040. We're going to take a timeout, change gears just for a couple minutes, because I couldn't in good conscience get through this show without playing a piece of audio from Jim Boylan postgame, the Bulls game against Portland. We'll give it to you when we come back, because I know there haven't been a lot of opportunities on the score since then to play it. We'll make sure you hear it. If you weren't listening Friday night to Bulls coverage on the score, which, by the way, Bulls pre for the game against the Kings, I'll have it for you 8:45 tomorrow night on the score. Tonight, we're going to be carrying Sunday Night Football, as we always do. So 6:30 is when coverage is going to start on the score. Patriots at Texans. That's going to be a really good one, so make sure you have it tuned here for Westwood One's coverage of that. All right, 10:40, we'll talk with Pete Futek. But next, Jim Boylan gave us a gem. You're going to want to hear it. I'm Rick Camp with you until noon on the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Whiteside and Markkanen at the foul line, and the back tap tracked down by Satoransky, and the ball game is over. A heartbreaker, and Portland comes away with a hard-fought 107-103 win over the Chicago Bulls.
You heard that here on the score Friday night. That's the Bulls' 107-103 loss to the Blazers. It was their third straight loss, 0-2 on their current road trip, and second loss to Portland within a week. And after the game, Jim Boylan was having his normal post-game media session with, you know, with the reporters that made the trek out to the West Coast. I believe you hear Darnell Mayberry from The Athletic's there. You have Joe Cowley there from the Sun-Times, KC Johnson as well from NBC Sports Chicago. And I'll just set it up as this. Jim Boylan was encouraged with the way the team played, even if they didn't necessarily get the proper result.
We need to keep playing the way we're playing, which is hard and together. The wins will come. Wins are always good, but we're building this thing. We got the blocks being laid, and I like our effort tonight. I like our togetherness, and I like our competitiveness.
What makes you think the wins will come?
If you build it, they will come, Joel. Seen that movie?
I have seen it.
He's in the movie, Joe?
Okay. I've seen it. Well, but, I mean, at the same time, they haven't come yet.
Okay.
You guys are trying to build this.
I'm not gonna dispute you on that. You're right. I'm going to look at what we can grow, how what I can teach better, what we need to learn, what we do well and do it better, what we don't do well, fix it and do it better. That's what I'm going to do. And I've got enough experience, I think, where I've seen when you do that, good things come. And that's what I'm going to do.
Well, yeah, that's the proper response.
If you build it, they will come.
Oh, no. Okay.
Seen that movie?
I have. Many times. Many times. Okay, so I get
we need to keep playing the way we're playing.
Yeah. I get the fact that Jim Boylan's being positive, because Bulls in that game were at least showing effort, which is more than he could say for a good amount of the game against Golden State, because that one was that's up there. If Darnell Mayberry rewrites his article like periodically of the worst losses of the season, that Golden State one's got to be like podium level at this point. But to say, well, we'll get the wins because the wins always come. That's what happens.
If you build it, they will come.
And then to throw out The Field of Dreams line, man. That's wild.
This has to be in the conversation, like at the very least in the team photo for one of the most infamous, like ridiculous things a Chicago coach has said, right?
I mean, it's definitely Jim Boylan's got a bit of a resume there too.
He does.
So that's definitely a Mount Rushmore, like Jim Boylan one.
Oh, it's for sure in his own top four, maybe even
but
number one.
That it's rough.
I can't believe, I got to give a lot of credit, and I think someone said this afterwards, it might have been Herbie on Twitter, like, I can't believe that those media guys were able to keep a straight face.
Seriously.
Or to ask competent follow-up questions. I would have busted up laughing.
I would have paid to see the look on Cowley's face when he asked the follow-up. Like, for even the initial comment, even outside of the Field of Dreams reference, Field of Dreams reference, even outside of that, just the initial answer, to then keep a straight face and be like, but the wins haven't come yet, Jim. And this was the easiest part of the schedule for the Bulls.
They have the hardest schedule in the NBA going forward, right?
At least in the East. I know I saw it posted that at least in the East so far, or for the rest of the season, they have the toughest schedules. And it's got to be up there for throughout the NBA. Because remember, this was the cake part of the schedule for the Bulls. My theory is that the NBA wanted the Bulls to remain relevant for as long as humanly possible so that there'd be local interest when the All-Star game comes in a few months. And the Bulls have not obliged to this point. The Bulls are 6-14. So you have a 6-14 with a bunch of struggles. It's been reported now by multiple outlets that a bunch of people are under fire, and you come out with, if you build it, they will come.
Seen that movie?
I have. A lot of us have seen that movie.
I'd be willing to guess that every person in that media scrum has seen that movie more than
once. Oh, yeah. I would assume so.
It's safe to assume that people working in the sports media have probably seen that movie.
The Bulls have found a way. Think about for how many years we've, like, a lot of the fan base and the media has been saying, just get rid of Gar, and a lot of people would be happy. That's been a common sentiment. The Bulls have now backed themselves into a corner where getting rid of just Gar would not be enough. The fact, because the reports, especially from the Joe Cowley report in the Sun-Times, is that Gar is the one under fire. Jim Paxson too. John Paxson, still safe. Jim Boylan, still safe. It's incredible to me to think that with the way things have gone, if you don't watch the games and you just look at the numbers, the Bulls' offense is atrocious, but the defense has been okay. It's been actually league average. I believe going into the Portland game, they were 13th in defensive net rating. But if you watch the games, you know that it's not sustainable. They give up the worst shot profile in the league. So they give up a ton of shots at the rim, and they give up a good amount of corner threes. Sooner or later, teams are going to start shooting the better percentages on those, and they're going to need the offense more. And they don't have, outside of Zach LaVine, I don't know anybody that looks confident on the offensive end for the Bulls. It's just crazy to, I understand there's not many answers, and there are times where, a lot of the time, I don't care as much about what players or coaches say, because they speak so often. Sometimes it's just one of those, like in our business, open mouth, say things. But to come out and say, well, the wins have to come because, you know, they got to. That's an all-timer, man. That's especially for that guy. And then in recent vintage, if we want to go, like, I'm not saying do this now because we're going to talk with Pete Futek in a couple minutes, but if you start to compile the best quotes from the past decade as the decade's winding up, I can't believe it's December 1st, by the way. Like, the fact that Thanksgiving was the week later this year than it normally is completely throws me off. But the fact that we're where we are right now and you get that gem dropped right at the end of the decade, that's got to rank decently high up there. At least we got a purpose for Jim Boylan, and it's to give us sound drops.
I'm starting to feel like, well, not starting to. I felt for a while that at some point in, you know, 10 years or so, whatever, we're going to look back and we're going to think, man, you remember what the Bulls had that guy? Like, they had that. You guys remember Jim Boylan?
Right. Like, are we gonna think about him like Terry Bevington style?
Yeah. Because just can you believe they had that guy? He was a head coach.
Yeah. And the thing is, if you just looked at his resume before getting the gig, because, you know, not many of us know a whole lot about assistant coaches. We just don't. So that, looking at him, like, resume-wise coming in, you're like, okay, I can see it. But that's just a special level bad. All right, we're going to take a timeout, come back. Pete Futek, the publisher of College Football News, and he does the College Football News podcast with Nick Szczepkowski. He's coming up next. We'll ask him about what happened this weekend. Well, it's still the weekend. It's Sunday. I don't really know what day it is anymore. It's either a day I work or a day I don't work. So today's Sunday for those keeping score at home. So we'll ask him about what happened yesterday, what he thinks about the college football playoff, and Rutgers officially announced that Greg Schiano is back on reportedly an 8-year deal. I know Rutgers is relevant in football, really basketball too, but we'll have to ask him about his thoughts on that as well. I'm Rick Camp. I'm here with you until noon on the score.
Book in the shotgun. Chase Claypool is to his left. Book drops back, throws to Claypool at the 5, into the end zone, touchdown Notre Dame.
You hear that Notre Dame touchdown as they took care of Stanford yesterday from Fox. I'm Camp with you until noon on the score. Told you that if there was any breaking fantasy news while you're giving a listen here, that we'll try and keep you updated. Zach Ertz of the Eagles is active today. I know there was a question about that, so he will be giving it a go if that is your fantasy tight end. But right now, we're going to get out to the Alpamonte Ford hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. We spoke with Shep earlier, so it only makes sense to talk to the other half of really the more important half of the College Football News podcast and the publisher of College Football News, Pete Futek. Pete, how was the viewing experience yesterday? Because, boy, there was a lot going on.
First of all, yes, Zach Ertz is my fantasy tight end, and now I am updated, and I appreciate the update as I was about to look him up anyway, but I don't need to now. I now know he is active.
So I appreciate
the update. Yeah, it's, you know, yesterday was crazy. You know, it's the fun day of the year because you have all the stuff going on at once. And that was a blast of a day. And now we get to see all the fallout coming from it now. And what we know now after yesterday is that because Oklahoma won and because you're going to have a 11-1 versus 11-1 Big 12 championship, that pretty much means that it's it for Alabama. There's no way you can find that you could get Alabama in this thing now. And we also know that no matter what, LSU and Ohio State are going to be in the college football playoff, even if they lose. So other than that, then we get to have fun next weekend with 10 games, conference championships, and then it all gets determined from there.
Who do you, outside of who you think, but who do you actually want to see get the fourth spot?
Alabama, but it's not going to happen. Only because they're fun and their games are crazy and they have a lot of talent, but that's just a fun team. But no, obviously not. That's now they're out. So in terms of the best tournament possible would be if Georgia were to beat LSU and then get in this thing, because now if you have a tournament where you have Ohio State, Clemson, LSU, and Georgia, even though you'd probably have a rematch possibility there, talent-wise, it would just be off the charts. I think Utah is going to get that fourth slot. I think they beat Oregon. I think they dominate and they find their way in this. The problem with Utah is they haven't beaten anybody. They haven't beaten a team that's ranked in the college football playoff top 25. So they're good, but they're good. But there's something missing there. And the gag that I keep whiffing on is there used to be an old Eddie Murphy joke, old bit where he used to say, okay, if you're watching Star Trek and you see Kirk, Spock, Bones, and Rear Admiral Johnson going down to a planet, take a guess which one's not coming back. And that's kind of what you've got. You've got three teams that are awesome. that could all win the national championship. And then you got that fourth team that you know is probably not going to survive.
Yeah, I think that's kind of why I've been hoping for, assuming Georgia doesn't beat LSU, hoping for Utah, because if nothing else, I just kind of want to see, like, what's an individual matchup. So I'm like, okay, Utah's defensive line against probably then Ohio State's offensive line. Like, something that I can tangibly watch and be like, even if this game's not going to be that close, maybe this matchup will be close.
Yeah, the interest level would be, I mean, Utah fans would be crazy over this thing. And it wouldn't be a bad thing just to get a new team in there. I mean, nationally, Utah doesn't really move the meter. But that would be, you know, that would at least be an interesting fight just to have a new team like that, as opposed to like Oklahoma, which, okay, we kind of know what Oklahoma is. They're good. They're flashy. Jalen Hurts is awesome. And they'll lose in the first round no matter what. Utah, you know what? They've had some moments under Kyle Whittingham in this program where they've been able to pull off some big wins. So that's not a total given that they'd get whacked around. The other thing that, you know, we're not talking about that is really, I think, right there is Baylor. Because if this could very easily be Baylor is our fourth seed, because if Oregon beats Utah, which could absolutely happen, and LSU beats Georgia, which could absolutely happen, if Baylor beats Oklahoma, Baylor's in.
Wow. And because I know it's one you just have to think about for a second, because I know they're out of conference sucked. Like, they just really, if I'm remembering correctly, they didn't really beat anybody of note.
And their in conference kind of sucks because the Big 12 kind of sucks.
Yeah. So is Matt Rhule more likely to be the coach of Baylor next year, a bigger college football program, or an NFL team?
I would say NFL team, but here's the thing. I think there's a pecking order right now. If there's Urban, there's Lincoln Riley, and there's Matt Rhule. So how many college guys do you want in the NFL world? And as we kind of know, you know, when these NFL teams are now hiring, you know, these 5-year-old kids who you've never heard of before, but are, you know, these whiz kid offensive coordinator types for somebody. So I don't necessarily know that it's a lock that he's going to the NFL, but certainly he's doing a great. He almost got the Jets job last year, and he is destined for a bigger gig very soon. But again, I think the prime guy out there is Urban. I think he takes Dallas or Cleveland. Lincoln Riley takes the other, and then Matt Rhule is kind of the next guy up for a bunch of those jobs.
Boy, I'm just trying to think of what the score would probably end up be if it was like Baylor, Ohio State. And yeah, it's like, it'd be cool for Baylor, and it's a great story considering how good of a job Matt Rhule's done. But I mean, if we're talking about solid enough game, I don't know, man.
To be very fair, anybody against Ohio State.
Very
right
true.
Now, Ohio State's just another level. I mean, that team, there's no real flaws. They've just been absolutely perfect. And like you kind of alluded to, their offensive line has been an absolute killer. I mean, they dominated a Michigan defensive front that has been pretty amazing over the last several weeks. So Ohio State's just a whole other animal right now, and you can't really dog anybody for going against them. But it would be an interesting thing for the Big 12. It would be interesting to have a new team in there. So you asked your question before. I kind of think it would be fun to have two new teams in. LSU is going to be there for the first time. Mm-hmm. I think it'd be fun to have Baylor or Utah in there for the first time, just to shake things up a little bit. Because think about it. Now, here's the other crazy tangent here. The Alabama storyline is going to be phenomenal because the College Football Playoff Committee has to take into consideration who's playing. So, like, they have to care if it's like Mac Jones or Tua. That's part of the equation when they seed these other teams for New Year's Six games. But because Alabama has been in the College Football Playoff every year, you haven't had this mass exodus of guys who leave early for the NFL. They could have at least 10 guys who don't play in this bowl game because they're getting ready for the NFL. And you could have a really, really weird bowl matchup. Say if they get in the Cotton Bowl against Boise State, you could have all second stringers in certain ways for Alabama against a Boise State or Memphis in the Cotton Bowl.
And that's even of like the upperclassmen that are still left playing at Alabama that aren't hurt. I mean,
yeah.
You know, you got their entire linebacker core is like teenagers still, which is
Well, they are. A lot of teenagers are playing this league, but boo-hoo for Alabama.
Right.
Your second and third string guys are five-star talents. There's no real excuse for them to be this bad, but there's a problem with the process. There's a problem with the scheme. But they are going to be an interesting bowl team because this is a new one for them that we haven't seen in 5 years.
So now we mentioned just Ohio State just working Michigan. Where does this leave Jim Harbaugh right now? I know he was snippy, to put it nicely, with reporters that were asking, you know, fair questions about the differences between the programs. I know you were high on Michigan this year. Where does this leave them right now?
I still am. I mean, I'm the ultimate Jim Harbaugh apologist. I'm not sure why. I think it's such an easy narrative to say, oh, well, he can't beat Ohio State. But the guy doesn't lose to, like, Indiana.
Right.
He doesn't lose to Illinois. Every one of his wins so far, or I'm sorry, every one of his losses in his tenure at Michigan has been against a team that's won 10 games or more, except for a close walk-off field goal loss to Iowa a couple years ago, and that Iowa team ended up blowing the doors off of Ohio State. So he doesn't get enough credit there. The crazy stat is, like, he's going to have another 10-win season if he is a bowl. So four times in 5 years, he's going to win 10 games at Michigan. He just happens to be in the same division as Ohio State. But, yeah, it's annoying because that's all he hears about is, can you beat Ohio State? Can you beat Ohio State? And the reality is, no. So the reaction yesterday after what happened was it just wasn't that shocking anything. Like, the whole thing was all sort of predictable. Ohio State's great. Yeah, they rolled against Michigan. Yeah, Shea Patterson played well. Yeah, Michigan is really good, but not good enough. And it just seems like that's how it's going to play out. But, again, you're dealing with a monster. This program, I mean, there's 11 pro prospects, legitimate pro prospects, on that Ohio State defense. You know, they might have three guys who are going to finish in the top five in the Heisman race. And that doesn't even count Jeff Okuda, who might be the first Ohio State Buckeye off the board in the NFL draft. You know, they're so ridiculously loaded, and they've been so ridiculously lucky when it comes to injuries so far. So that's just a beast of a program right now. And you can't really blame Harbaugh or Michigan for not being quite there, because really at the moment there's Clemson, there's LSU, there's Alabama, but no one else is right at that level of talent that Ohio State's getting.
Shocking for me to make an NBA analogy, but it's almost like Michigan is the Rockets, when it's like, oh, you couldn't beat those Warriors with Kevin Durant and Klay and Draymond and Steph, so you're trash. It's almost
I was going to go NBA reference earlier too, with Alabama being kind of Golden State Warriors like, where they're going to lose everybody, and all of a sudden this program that looks like, oh, how do you not assume that that's it? They're going to fall off the map, and you're right. But you've had that for years with LSU and Alabama, and LSU finally kind of got over that hump. You've had it for years with Auburn, and, you know, it was able to beat Alabama yesterday. So I do get it. I do get the idea that, you know, if you're in the SEC West, you got to beat Alabama, and that's just asking for way too much. And if you're in the Big Ten East, you got to find a way to beat Ohio State. James Franklin's been able to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, Purdue has found a way, you know, to get the job done. I always got been able to get the job done from the other division. So if you're Michigan, yeah, at some point you got to get that win. But again, you can't really dog Harbaugh too much. But let's see if he can get this team up for the bowl game. Because remember last year, they got their heart ripped out by Ohio State. They didn't show up against Florida. This time around, you know what? Win your big bowl game, and then it kind of eases things in the offseason.
All right, quickly before I let you go, Greg Schiano's official. Adam Schefter's reporting 8 years. Why? Outside of the fact that they're just brutal.
Okay, because they're trying to recapture the glory days of... first of all, he's not an old guy.
No.
You know, it was a million years ago, but he's still fine. So they're just trying to find somebody who can make Rutgers potentially relevant. And they're going back to the glory days when, you know, they had a pretty good run there. They didn't beat anybody. I mean, the crazy part about the Greg Schiano run is they had one really gigantic win over Louisville when it had Teddy Bridgewater. And that's kind of it. they didn't really beat anybody else who was any good during that era.
Was that the turnaround and the kicker pointing to the sky cam when that was a newer thing?
Yeah, that was it. That was a great shootout, and but that was the one win. Every other big win that he had in that era was in the Big East, and they beat West Virginia. Maybe they got that win once in a while. It was Boston College. They didn't really beat anybody who was that great. And now you're in a Big Ten East with Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State, Penn State. Yeah, good luck. So the problem I have with this is you have a ceiling. It's the same problem I have with the Mack Brown hire at North Carolina, and even to a certain extent, well, not even Herm Edwards, he's doing a great job. He's got a great recruiting class coming in. But if you're going to get one of these types of guys who's you're not really going for the young type who can potentially be a superstar, you know what you're getting. At best, maybe you've got a competitive team that could maybe get six wins in a bowl game, which for Rutgers right now would be nice. But I kind of like the idea of taking a shot for the stars and taking one of the younger generation guys.
Pete, appreciate it, man.
Have a good one, Mr. Kemp.
That is Pete Futuk. He's the goods. Follow him on Twitter at Pete Futuk, publisher of College Football News and the College Football News podcast. All right, we're going to switch gears here in the final hour of the show. Get some Bears coming up next and where they're at. You know, it's an odd week with going from Thursday game to Thursday game, but also what has to happen today as you're getting ready for your NFL Sunday, getting to watch Red Zone, not having to bother with the Bears. What needs to happen today to help the Bears 4% playoff chances rise just a little bit? We'll get to that in the next hour. Eric Edholm will talk NFL with us at 11:20. I'm Rick Camp here with you until noon on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.